Stuart, I don't quite know where to start when you think back to that second half. An awful lot seemed to happen. Let's start with their goal. Obviously, their player was down in the penalty area. Should the game have been stopped?
Well, the rules, I don't know. I don't really understand these rules. It looked like it was a head injury. So when it is a head injury, the referee normally blows the whistle to allow the physios on. And again, they obviously they had the ball, they were in possession of the ball. The disappointing thing is we defended the corner, but it was like a second phase. So I was just a bit more concerned. I knew the ball was going to come back in the box. But he's probably in Chris Kirkland's way as well, because if the cross comes in, you want Chris to come and get it. But the boy's laid on the floor, so I expected to blow the whistle. But I think what's happened in the game, it's crept into the game, is that if people tend to lie down, the players seem to knock it out for a throw, you know, just stop the play. But they're chasing the game, they're 1-0 down, so suddenly they want to keep it live, whether it was just a bit of lapse of concentration on our front, whether it was just a decision that didn't go for us as such. But I just expected him to blow the whistle, let the boy get attention, because it was a head injury.
As I mentioned, an awful lot happened, and it all seemed to stem from a penalty decision that wasn't given Millwall's way. Then we see what appeared to be a bottle thrown on the field at Chris Kirkland, which the referee had to remove. The penalty itself, I suppose, it kind of looked like it should have been a penalty. And then off the back of that, we see a brawl over on the far side. What did you make of it all tonight?
Well, it's a difficult place to come. It's a lively place. One thing you don't want to do is wake the crowd up. And fortunately, probably the goal that they got, where we're a little bit disappointed that they've been able to get that goal, because we've got our noses in front, scored a great goal. We had a couple, two or three useful chances as well to get the second goal as such. But like I say, at the end of the day, it's disappointing that somebody's thrown a bottle on the pitch. You don't want that, don't condone anything like that. It should never happen in a football club. Hopefully they'll find that person, and hopefully Millwall will deal with that person. And then the disappointing thing is Cokie's reaction to being stamped on. And then in the end, you think, well, hang on a minute. It's suddenly again got the crowd up another level as such. But credit to the 10 that ended up finishing the game. It finished, like I say, we had probably had enough chances in the end to hit them on the break and get that second goal, I think. But it's a difficult place to come. I was pleased that when we went 1-0 up, I thought we were going to get the 3 points, and obviously a decision that's gone against us has cost us 2 points.
Is it an understandable reaction from Giles Coke, or is it something that you need to speak to him about?
Well, again, it's funny enough, it's a difficult job the referee's got. Giles is adamant, the boy stamped on him. But Giles can't react. Giles just got to say, look, I'm going to be winning 1-0. So at the end of the day, what's happened is probably, I don't think Giles has just pushed him away. So suddenly what's happened then is the crowd in that corner. So the referee's got a decision. Well, it's difficult for me to say, but sometimes you've just got to say, well, hang on a minute. Just walk away from these situations and let the referee deal with it. But then it became all the players involved. So I was just a little bit... Giles is upset because he scored a good goal, and he's very upset that probably he feels that he's let the team down by his reaction.
I was going to say, it does take away attention from the very good goal that he scored.
Yeah, well, we've been working on forward running and playing the ball forward and in back through, and we just knew that we could probably get down the sides of the two centre-backs. And it's come off perfectly well for Giles, and then he's had a bit of composure to go around Stevie Bywater and slot it in. And then you just think, well, hang on a minute, keep your discipline, because the crowd are getting angry. I think the bottle already been thrown on by then, I think, as such. So this is where you just need to be a bit more professional. Maybe I just needed a bit more experience out there, losing Glenn at half-time with a bit of a hamstring. Just lost that bit of calm and influence that could have maybe spoke to the referee, spoke to the players as well. They're bombing the ball forward, where I'm to defend it. Any decision, every time the ball went in the box, any one of their players that went near it, every fan was appealing for a penalty. So credit to the referee there. I don't think any of them were penalties, personally. I just think he gave the decisions, and he gave the right decisions.
How concerned are you with Glenn then? Is that a pretty serious hamstring injury? Was it a precaution? What's the news there?
He actually felt it. He felt it and did it in the warm-up. Mm. So it just got a little bit worse as the first half went. So in the end, last thing we want to do is a torn hamstring. Suddenly he's 6 weeks in the treatment room. So too early to judge it at this moment. Obviously the medical team will evaluate it, and he'll be in for treatment tomorrow. Fingers crossed he'll be okay for Saturday.
How much character is your team showing at the moment? Tough place to come, this, now 9 unbeaten.
Well, you think, I think this is Ian's second game at home. and they beat Ipswich, and they overpowered Ipswich, and he's got them running, and he's got them closing down, he's got the crowd up for it. Ian gets a bit excited on the touchline as well, and probably that gets the crowd going as such. So they're on a good, they're putting an unbelievable shift in for him, but not as much as the lads are putting in a shift in for me at this moment. All, like I said, to the credit to them, they put the bodies on the line. Not many teams are going to come here and be able to match that intensity and that tempo as such. And again, I thought in the end, it was a fantastic game, but probably just we'll be talking about bottles being thrown on the pitch. We'll be talking about their player led in the 6-yard box instead of talking about the quality of the game.
In terms of your team, though, I mean, you've done well to get to the position you're in now, 9 unbeaten. Another point is important, just to keep things moving along, to keep that momentum going, isn't it?
Well, I'm disappointed again. I'm not talking to you with 3 points. I thought again once when we went 1-0, I thought we had, come on, let's just get our foot on it and just knock it about. They need to chase the game, and we look like we're going to catch them on the counter attack 2 or 3 times. And just again that final ball that just maybe cost us as such to kill the game off. But again, like I say, is that they've given everything. I think the away fans are great. Long journey for them to come. Had to spend a lot of money, as in going to Rochdale, come in here, well supported. They can see the effort and the commitment that the players are putting in as well.
Elsewhere, Conor Wickham's now gone back to Sunderland. Just tell us about that, because when we spoke to you yesterday, you know, you were talking about you were confident of keeping him here, and then it seemed like an hour later he'd gone. So was that a bit of a bolt out of the blue?
It certainly was a bolt out of the blue, because suddenly we'd gone out to training, I get a phone call. Some technicality, that they had to call Connor back before 12 o'clock. I was under the impression that if they didn't call him back, he wasn't, I think, are they playing tonight? Are they Sunderland or tomorrow? So he wouldn't have been eligible. So that was a huge disappointment. But fingers crossed we can possibly get him back as well. But like I say, the players showed tonight, we're just not a one-man team. We're actually a team where, like I say, where we attack with 11 and we defend with 11.
Do you still believe there's a chance he could come back then?
Yes, very much so, very much so. It's a case, obviously, been in dialogue with Gus, been in dialogue with Sunderland, and obviously Connor wants to come back as well. So he was hugely disappointed he had to go back as well.
And you are looking at other players as well. With the deadline coming up, I have to ask, are you any closer to bringing anybody else?
Well, at this moment in time, like I say, we're talking to people. I'm going to sound very, very boring, but we are waiting on decisions from these players. And fingers crossed, we're certainly going to need players, because obviously we're going to lose Giles now for 3 game. Touch wood, hopefully Glenn will be available for Saturday. We've got Reader on the treatment table at the moment. We seem to lose a player in game one, so we're getting back Joe Mattock on Saturday as well.
Is it just a case of being patient? We know how these windows tend to happen. It's always at the last minute when things seem to come together, isn't it?
It is, and as daft as it sounds, the reason why it does take last minute is because agents think the grass is greener on the other side as such, so that's what they're waiting for at this moment in time. That's why it ends up being a mad sort of last hour as such. So if it means the last hour, so be it. But then again, the window shuts and then the emergency window opens a week after that.